Welcome to this week's Parshas Vayetze. I wanted to give the Mashiach share as now this evening. Zion Kislev is 1 year anniversary of being at this yeshiva. So in honor of that, as well as Klal Yisrael and all those in Israel and family and friends, this should be in honor of them. And we should be together with Mashiach in Jerusalem. Okay, so I wanted to start with an awesome story. The Maggid of Mizrich, the disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, was once asked by his childhood friend, "Why does it take you so long to pray?" His friend told him that he too prays with all these Kabbalistic intentions from the Arizal, yet it takes him a much shorter time to get through the cycle of the prayers. The Maggid asked him, "Since you are a merchant, why do you need to travel to the marketplace to buy your goods? Why can't you just meditate and be there in your mind without actually having to schlep there?" The Maggid was alluding to the fact that there's a quantum leap, or this is in the words of from this book of from Rav Dover Pinson, that there's a quantum leap between being there, actually entering into the space of a kavana, and merely just going there. Maybe just saying the words, until actually grasping the implied meaning of the kavanas without fully entering into them and letting them enter you. To use that as a means to talk about meditation, hisbonenus, in relation with Mashiach, and specifically that we learn that Mashiach will come behesach hadas, that Mashiach is going to come when our attention is diverted. Some different translations show that Mashiach is going to come, you know, when we're not paying attention. But really, the hesek hadas, that diverted attention, is actually a rested focus. You could generally categorize two types of focus. There's a convergent focus on something, which is when you're really intending something. And the divergent focus is when your attention is a little bit more rested. You're aware of what's going on, but it's relaxed, and it's not so stressed or whatnot. And, you know, we often have a convergent focus and paying attention to our world outside of us, because when we grew up and something happened, let's say a parent, we didn't tie our shoes, and our parents were like, "Tie your shoe, you're going to trip," or, you know, "Careful going up the stairs," all the important things. But if it's like too strong of a warning, then we're going to be worried when we do those things. So then when we get in those situations, we're going to be very focused on it, as opposed to rested, you know, open focus. When it comes to praying and when it comes to meditation, so how do we get into this state of hesach? You could say that hesach hadas, that this diverted attention, is a state of being. As we read from the story, the Maggid actually would get to this place, however you want, you can understand that, when he was davening, he wasn't just, and we have, and we learned in this week's Parsha, you know, and even just in today's Torah reading, it talks about the sulam, the ladder that Yaakov saw in his dream. And the ladder represents that we have the ladder of davening. And the different parts of davening represent different parts of the ladder, from Pesukah de Zimra, and the blessings of the Shema, and then the heightened part of the prayer, which is Atzilus. So when the Maggid of Mizrich was davening, and he's telling his friend this, he wasn't just thinking about Atzilus when he was in Shemona Esrei, who was actually there. However, when you practice with meditation or with davening, the more you rehearse it, you can get into these states, and the more you learn about something, whether you learn about those parts of the prayers or the state of being that we're talking about, you can enter into it more so, because when you involve your mind and your understanding, then you can teach your body, you can teach your emotional state of being what it's like in that place. Let's say if you know a little bit about the blessings of Shema and what Shema represents, and that it represents unity, and the more you have this meaning and understanding, you can add more of that to and teach yourself to when you're feeling worried or anxious or about things you have to do or where you have to go or all the mundane thoughts and worries about the day or even past just the day, you can return your attention to the meaning behind it and the words that you're saying. And after a lot of repetition, it gets much easier and you actually enter into that state. So one of the things I wanted to bring together these concepts that meditation, his bodhidus, which is more of the, his bodhidus would be bodhed, which means alone, like in silence, you could say, as a way to kind of facilitate the greater entering into this state. Because we learn in our, now a lot of modern sciences are teaching, especially with studies on meditation, there's a lot these days, that when you're really truly present, the body doesn't know the difference between a thought and an experience. Ever have an experience when you're, it could be even with davening or when you're driving somewhere and you get to your destination, you know, how did I get here? So you were so involved in the act, it just, everything was kind of second nature and you were in another world. Or when you're talking to somebody or whatever. So in that, if you were to observe the body, physiologically you would be wherever your mind was. And that is also what our sages, teaches the Baal Shem Tov, what he said, wherever your thoughts are, wherever your desires are, that's where you are. So we can use this knowledge from our sages in our advantage. Because, let's say, we even see this last week's Parsha, Abraham tells his servant Eliezer to go find a match for his son Yitzchak. And he gives him a clear intention, a clear goal. I want you to go to my family and these conditions, and he gave them. And Eliezer himself, when he went to the well, he had these certain conditions as well. Please bring me this type of woman, and she's going to ask me for water. And not only is she going to give me water, but she's going to give my camels to drink. And that shows a lot of like the clarity and specificity of this intention that he was looking for. And in our brain, there's a particular activating system, which is, you know, when you have a, let's say you see a new type of dog or animal, whatever, and then you see it once, and then you start seeing it all over the place. It's because now you have this recognition in your brain. Using that to your advantage, you can take a certain concept or make an intention and rehearse that, mentally rehearse it, to the point that now you actually experienced already, so that when, after, let's say, a meditation or davening, or praying, you are already, you've already seen it, so now your physical brain and your eyes are more perceptive to see it. Applying this all to meditation, when you close your eyes and you're not listening to anything, except for just maybe the sounds going around there, but you're not putting any direct sounds, helps facilitate going inwards a lot easier. As opposed to, let's say, you can really get into that state with prayer and davening, but there's also a minyan and different conversations and things going around. It may have a little bit more of a challenge in the early hours in the morning when it's daylight, and you're closing your eyes, you're not listening to anything, you can rest your attention more so inwardly and begin to have certain kind of, you know, imaginations or misboinen on the chassidus and what you're learning, and you're able to have a lot more of a undistracted attention. And when we have a clear intention of what we're visualizing, and like I said earlier, you are where your thoughts are, that the sages said, and that when you're truly present, when you get beyond, meaning like we're learning in the Chassidus, when you get beyond, you know, all the mundane thoughts of maybe what you have to do that day or in the past, whatever happens, getting beyond it, meaning it's occupied in your mind, but you're not putting so much attention onto it, then you can direct your focus, have that convergent focus onto that desired goal, that intention. Such as, So some of our the sages said, like Rabbi Elimelech of Lizenz said, you should visualize as if you're davening in the Beis Hamikdash. As I was mentioning, if you, let's say, have a lot of details, and what did the Rebbe teach us? That the quickest way of bringing Mashiach is learning about Mashiach. So let's say if you combine those aspects of your visualizing and meditating on all that you're constantly learning, you have a lot of details. So in your imagination, you can rehearse walking through the Beis Hamikdash, all the different elements of it. I remember when Michal gave us shir, and he was sharing with us the measurements of the Beis Hamikdash and actually visualizing. He said, you live with it. So we can bring those all together, and we're gonna have a guided meditation modeling after that team. But then, so that's that convergent focus I was talking about. So you have that clear intention, and you're rehearsing it with all these details, and then, you don't finish. One of the most important parts is to actually feel it, like we read from the story of the Magid of Mizrich. There's a difference between being there and just thinking there. So let's say if we all think about being in the Beis Hamikdash right now, we can have a clear picture of it, but only after we rehearse it for quite some time, maybe have a whole scene with it. You know, maybe you're walking with your family and you're seeing the Levim singing and the Kohanim Akriva Karban, they're offering up a sacrifice. Now it's almost like you're walking through a part of the movie, and you add different senses. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? What are you seeing? Who are you with? Now you're bringing out the different emotions part of it. And when you bring in the emotions, now you're actually there, you could say. Your mind is focused on the vision, on what you're going through, and your body feels as if you're actually there. So now bringing all of that to Mashiach, the Alter Rebbe said, you know, whatever somebody says about times of Mashiach, I know that's not true. However, with all that we've been learning so far, and learning a lot from our Rebbe about Mashiach, we can infer it's going to be a time of love, a time of gratitude, a time of unity, and a time of joy. And we can have a taste of that, and as we learn, we have to live with Mashiach, and we can have a taste of Mashiach now. Which means we don't have to, Mashiach isn't something out there that, oh, I'm going to be grateful, I'm going to be joyous, I'm going to have love when it comes. Just like the concept of waiting Mashiach isn't implying, okay, we're ready. It's an active, creative, yearning process that's actively involved with the mitzvahs and every type of involvement, and also study of Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. That is the waiting that is attracting Mashiach. So we can see that we can now, through this, let's say, meditation or prayer, you can arouse those emotions in this moment. And that way, when you finish the prayers or when you finish the meditation, you get up, because you've already felt it, you get up from your seat, let's say with your meditation, as we're getting about to do, or from the davening, and after you read out the Tehillim and you learn, or you put on however many pairs of tefillin you put on, then you get up, and when you enter the day, you're living as if Mashiach is already here. So you can't get up, you can't finish your davening and be like, where's Mashiach? Why isn't he here yet? Because that's already separate from being in that state that you are being with Mashiach. And so that's that divergent focus that I was talking about. It's, you had the clear intention and you embodied it with your meditation and prayer. And now when you get up and you go out into the day, that's when the real avoda, that real work is, because you have to maintain those elevated emotions or that state of being throughout the entire day, no matter what happens. Meaning if somebody passes and you have an argument or some unexpected news or sudden news happens, you have to be able to regulate your emotions to where, okay, it's like this thing happened, but then you bring it, you're able to regulate your emotions back into that state of being. And so because you embodied in that state of, let's say, the Mashiach or whatever somebody's intention is, just like Eliezer was doing when he was looking for a Rivka, then that diverted attention means now I'm not looking to it coming to me. So then you just going on through your day, involved with Torah study, involved with mitzvahs, and you're doing your thing, maybe some new opportunity or something comes up out of your way, you talk to somebody, and exactly what you were looking for and praying for appears almost suddenly. And this is a lot of this adapted from one of the mimer that the Rebbe gave on his birthday heritage series, which is called to Pray as God Would Pray. And it's 50th birthday. Like why we don't make a break between Gali Yisrael into Hashem Sefetai Tifta, right from Shema prayers into the Shmon Esrei, which represents Gula. That's the main part, is you, when you finish your prayers, you're not finishing as it, like, okay, now where God are my answers? You live as if your prayer is already answered. So with that, we're going to do a nice, say, 10 minutes, internalizing this, what we've been learning. And we'll first, the most important part is to get into that present moment. And then we'll bring to mind short visualization to introduce you to the, you know, how powerful our minds are and our ability to, just like we've been learning in our morning chassidus with Rabbi Goldberg, we have to draw down our moichin into our midas, our intellect, and all that we've been learning. You have to, by getting present and bringing to mind what we've been talking about, and resting on it, not judging or like looking for where are my emotions, why aren't they here yet, why don't I feel, you know, joyous, then eventually it'll settle in into you. So can we hit the lights? Really nice. Ready? Get seated. Seated in your chair, your feet on the ground, your arms on your lap. Just sit in your chair, back nicely against the back of the chair, your feet on the ground, your hands in your lap. Just take a nice deep breath in. And when you exhale, lightly close your eyes. Okay. There's no pressure, there's no doing it right or wrong. Just, you know, follow the... Just a nice breath in. And exhale out and lightly close your eyes. Just lightly focusing just first on your breath. You can even focus on how it feels in through your nose. And the sound. You can either exhale through your nose or lightly through your mouth. Any sounds you may hear going outside or around you, just know that these are there only to help you focus and deepen your attention. So lightly going to now place our attention just at the top of our head, like where we place our tefillin. And we're going to slowly kind of like scan down from the top of our head down to our forehead, past the eyes and the ears. Just lightly going down, just noticing where your attention might go or might be, and lightly bring it to where you are holding in that scan. This is just a nice process of helping you enter into the present moment, because our mind is often thinking about what we have to do later or what we did earlier today. And now that it's the evening, you know, right now you're probably at your neck and your shoulders. You can kind of just take another deep breath and let go of the day so far. thank yourself for, thank your neshama for all the great investment in the study that you did today. So make it pass through our shoulders and down through our torso, upper chest, in our back, down to the waist. Past the thighs. Just remembering to keep nice deep breathing and your attention on the part of the body. Remember, if your mind wanders, just ease, lightly bring it back to where you left off. Make our way now down to the knees, and from the knees down the legs, to your feet, and your ankles, even bringing up some gratitude for your feet, for holding up your entire body, gratitude for Hashem, for giving your feet, for all the limbs, limbs, of course, onto the limbs of Hashem, the mitzvahs. And we'll lightly take some time on your own to make your way back up. I'll meet you at different parts. But starting from your feet, and you'll go back up your shins, to the knees, to the waist, from your waist up to your upper chest, your shoulders, and up the neck, and up your chin and your head, and your eyes. As you get back to where we first started, on the top of the head, I want you to kind of bring your attention a little bit higher, about maybe 6 inches or so, if you can imagine, above your head. Kind of, you can imagine where Keser of the Spheros would be, just right above your head. Now in this place, I want you to now bring up something you're grateful for. It can be from the day or a person. And just sit with that. See if we can bring up that emotion. Say like I said, the person, or an event. Now in this place, or this space, I want you to imagine all of us, all of Klali, walking up to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're with your family or with somebody. Enter into walking into the courtyard. Bring up different elements that so far you've learned about the structure, about what goes on. Who are you with? What are you seeing? What sights are you seeing? What sounds are you hearing? You're seeing the great flame from the Karbanis coming down from the sky. You're seeing the front of the Beis HaMikdash. Just as you begin to rehearse it, you build your imagination, your ability to focus your mind. As we learned, Moach Shalit Halalev, that you can choose and focus on your thoughts. and where your mind is. Embody into this. And almost kind of see your awareness zoom out of it. And now you see that whole scene as a screen, you can see, or a part of a book, just an open screen or a picture that encapsulates that whole experience. And as if you have arms, you're holding this image or this scene, this experience, and you let it go in front of you to Hashem. You can visualize it maybe ascending and turning into fireworks or something exciting. And you acknowledge that ultimately this is up to Hashem, and may He bring this in a way better than any of us can imagine. And as we take a few last closing breaths, inhaling and exhaling, you can now then feel your back against the chair, your bottom, on the bottom of the chair, on the seat, your hands on your legs, and your feet on the ground. When you're ready, on your own time, you can open your eyes.